GNC574. It's Tuesday, May 11th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone back here in Honolulu, and man, it is just absolutely wonderful. Got a lot to talk about. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. That's really the place to go to find all the older shows. But you don't ever want to miss a show, because you can get subscribed to the show via the RSS feed, the Zune Marketplace feed, the iTunes link, whatever it may be that allows you to get the podcast delivered automatically to your portable media device or your computer at home. Hey, definitely go over to that RSS feed and get subscribed to the show. And really, don't ever miss an episode ever. Hey, I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. And of course, I want to welcome everyone from 165 countries worldwide that are subscribed to the podcast. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana. Those of you that are longtime subscribers to the show, thanks for being here, being part of the family. Thanks for sharing the show. And, you know, of course, the main most important thing is thanks for staying subscribed. And, hey, lots of stuff going on, man, oh, man. But I just got to tell you, when I got back to Honolulu, the first evening back, we had the house opened up, the trade winds were blowing, and I just kept getting this whiff of this fragrance. It just smelled like this most beautiful perfume you could ever imagine. And what it was is the night jasmine is flowering right now, and the only time the night jasmine flowers is in the evening. So every once in a while, I just get hit with this whiff of, oh, man, all I can, it just smells so good. So I've got the studio, the back of the studio, you guys can't see, is all opened up, a little bit of a breeze coming in, and every once in a while, that just kind of hits me in the face, and it's really, really nice. It's just one of the small benefits of living in Hawaii is that, of course, my wife has got lots of flora planted throughout the 8,000 square feet of property that I have. I think we have the most densely populated different types of. I got a lime tree directly behind me, an orange tree off the side. We've got the jasmine on one side of the house. It's just, you know, it just goes on and on all the way around the property. But man, it smells good. So with that said, and I just made everyone super jealous, sorry, it's just good to be home back in Honolulu. It's more importantly, good to be back in the studio and putting the show on from here. Hey, those of you that are checking the show out, make sure you get signed up for our newsletter. Our newsletter contains everything that I'm going to cover during the show tonight, including links that have been submitted by listeners like you or viewers. Those of you that may be watching us tonight on Ustream, of course, I want to welcome those of you on there. If you have comments on tonight's show, you can send an email to geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Also, make sure you can check out the show on Roku or on Boxy. I was hoping to have good news on the Tech Podcast channel for the Roku, but that hasn't yet been approved. We're close. We're very, very, very close. So, as a matter of fact, I sent an email off to Angela saying, hey, ping those guys, find out what's going on, why we haven't been turned on yet. But, just like a fine wine, everything is good with time, right? Well, my flight home out of Albuquerque was uneventful. 6 a.m. flight out. Actually, I had a great dinner Friday evening with two of our most akamai, long-time listeners of the show. I had a great dinner with them. We really kind of have to say it. And we talk shop a little bit, and we're reminiscing. Both of the guys were prior military, so, you know, it kind of turned into one of those types of conversations. A little bit of war stories as well, and we had a lot of fun. But flight home was good. Got into San Francisco. They had done an equipment change on us. So, you know, what happens with United is they have two coach aircrafts normally, first class and coach. And their first class on domestic routes is so-so. It's just a little bigger seat, and they feed you, and you get free drinks, versus having a little bit smaller seat in the back. Really, the benefits for flying United first generally isn't that great. But the 747 was a true three-class aircraft that they fly on international routes. And the business class was better than their normal first class. So I was on upper deck of the 747, and it was really kind of a sweet way to come home in business class on the way back. But had a nice seatmate, talked with him, talked with a guy across from me, was with Kamehameha Schools, actually was part of their venture capital arm that invests in companies. So we had kind of a cool discussion on the way back. But more importantly, today, a good friend of mine that I flew with while I was in the Navy, matter of fact, we had flown together a great deal after 9/11. He was flagged a year ago to take command of a squadron that I used to work with. And today, Commander Corey Ray was took over as commanding officer, and I went over and, of course, was at that change of command. Saw many of my friends that I hadn't seen in a while from the lower 48. I know a number of them are tuning in tonight to either watch the show or listen, and I want to, of course, want to welcome them to Honolulu and hope that they have a great time here over the next week. And I know I have some meetings to go to, but congratulations again to my good friend, Commander Corey Ray, for his picking up CO. And his ceremony today. But anyway, beyond that, we've got a couple things for you. I've got the, let me see if I can bring this up for you so we can get into, let me flip that switch. If you guys go over to geeknewscentral.com/offers, and then what you're going to find there are some offers that I put up on a page that's going to make available to you from the advertisers that were running the show. And we'll talk about GoDaddy and GoToMeeting a little bit later. But of course, we got the Tech Magazine offers. We've got a special offer right now. This is kind of interesting. This is only for 60 days. And this is for those of you that may have kids with newborns or parents that have young children. So if you have a newborn or a baby, you may want to check out yourbabycan.com. I actually have this linked up in the show notes for you. yourbabycan.com/podcast. And what this is it basically is a series of books, tapes, and CDs. I guess it's not tapes. It's CDs, flashcards. And it really is a program that I've heard a lot about, and we're working with them right now. Helps kids get started speaking a lot. Gives basically a leg up. So check that out. Risk-free trials available for you. Resume Rabbit, that's a new service that we're making available. If you're looking to get a discount on resume services with Resume Rabbit, definitely check them out. podcast.resumerabbit.com/geeknews. There's a link in the show notes for that. And we also have another offer with a PC tune-up and identity manager with password protector. I actually used this on my XP machine. My Vista machine that's been acting a little bit funny. Went and paid the $29.95, and I got all three programs by using the promo code POD1. But this was a, this is pretty cool application, and I tell you, it really, I guess for a better word, I think the machine was taking like 8 or 9 minutes to fully boot up, and it was, it's kind of getting to that point where it's feeling sloggy, and after I ran this and went through the process with it, 4.5 minutes boot up time, the machine's like new. So definitely check this out, PC tune-up with Identity Manager and Password Protector, and I'll have a link there in the show notes for you, but promo code POD1. Anyway, those are the offers that are on the offers page at geeknewscentral.com/offers. Off our Cafe Press store is open, of course, running by Sam, one of our Ohana out of Albuquerque, cafepress.com/Ohana store. They get you access to a variety of different T-shirts. He's going to have some more designs up there, so keep checking back there on a regular basis. And, of course, I want to welcome our new Geek News Central insiders. We had kind of a burst of folks that actually signed up and some folks that paid up in advance for a year. Want to thank them for their subscriptions and for helping out to the show here. So if you want to be an insider, go over to geeknewscentral.com/insider. All right, a little bit on my plans. I'm still scheduled to head out to Ford. I fly out the evening of the 18th and then get into Dearborn the day of the 19th, tour the Ford plant on the 20th. That, of course, is a Thursday, so that's the next week, a week from Thursday. So after that tour is done, depending upon when I get out of Detroit and how fast I can drive to Coldwater, actually Quincy, Michigan, to where my mom's place is, will depend upon whether or not I have a show Thursday night or not. If I don't, Friday, I'll probably do one Friday morning. If I don't get one out on the night of the 20th for my mom's place, and of course I'll be streaming live from there if the bandwidth supports it. Spend the 21st or 22nd with her, then fly back to Honolulu on the 23rd. Looks like I'm going to be home for a few weeks after that, so that's the good news. And I might actually be making a run to Rochester, New York, the week of, I believe, June 14th. So if you live in the Rochester area and you're part of the Ohana, we'll have a meetup. So I'll let you know that schedule. Again, the week of June the 14th. I'll keep you advised on that schedule. That's tentative right now as we move forward into the rest of the month. Lenovo ThinkCenter E63, I don't know, that giveaway has not yet started, so we're still got that sitting, matter of fact, right over here in a box to give away, and so I'll be talking about that shortly. Hey, if you're a fan of the show, change your Wi-Fi SSID to geeknewscentral.com, then it's greatly appreciated. All right, let's take care of a little business here, and then we'll get into the content which you all have been so eagerly anticipating from tonight's show, and I got a great lineup of stuff for you. Did get an email from one of our longtime listeners of the show talking about his savings with GoDaddy. Let me see if I can find it. It was Bama Jeff, and he said, "Hey, Todd, I just saved $20 using your GoDaddy codes. It's a no-brainer. I'm closer to starting my own business again. Thanks for the information you provided. I continue to cope and fight." And this is, he was an individual that listens to the show that had a spinal cord injury due to a robbery and a shotgun basically got shot. And so he's had a very tough time of it. But he was able to save some money using our promo codes over at GoDaddy. And congratulations, Bam. I'll send you over some goodies. Definitely send me a link. Send me your mailing address. We'll get some stuff out for you for submitting your testimonial on GoDaddy. But really, GoDaddy's where it's at. If you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, you name it, GoDaddy's got it. Matter of fact, my rep over at GoDaddy sent me an email today. Let's see if I can actually dig that out. He was talking about the pricing, and I had actually told you guys a little bit about this on the last show. Let's see here. Do I have it in the right stack? Let me look over on this one here. Here we go. He says, Todd, on July 1st, VeriSign, the registry for .com and .net domains, will be raising their prices. That means that the standard $749.com offers from GoDaddy will be going up too, probably around 50 cents, I think. So if you want to beat the price increase, you just need to act now. And he says, tell them to use your promo codes when you check out to get the discount. Remember, the prices are going up July 1st, so head over to GoDaddy and grab your domain now or renew your domains that you have coming up for renewal. You know, that way you'll save a bunch of money if you've got a bunch that you need to renew through the end of the year. So promo code Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale will get you $7.49 domain names every day of the week, .coms at least. Renewals or new purchases. ComSale will save you $20 on an order of $75 or more. Head over to GoDaddy, pick up your great product or online product over there now. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. I had an opportunity today to work in a GoToMeeting session for about 3 hours on some things that we have forthcoming with some advertising deals. And the media buyer that I was working with was pretty astounded because he would go off and run and talk to his manager and come back, and we'd make a change to a contract, and I would just continue to work what I was doing. He'd say, "Hey, Todd, I'm back," and we'd make a change and update it, and we worked through probably what would normally take an email, probably, you know, 10 or 15 back and forth. We really accomplished in just leaving the GoToMeeting session up and him running off, doing what to do, come back in a couple hour period. Now, it wasn't continuous. We just left the session open. And, you know, really, it hits into the power of this application. You know, sometimes you can be on a phone with a client or colleague trying to explain something, and it just doesn't work. And it can be frustrating. They can't see what you're talking about. But as you know, by using GoToMeeting, you can hold an online meeting for as long or as short as you want, with as few or as many people as you want. You can set up a meeting in advance or on the fly. And everyone simply logs in at GoToMeeting.com to get started. They see your computer desktop on their screens. In this instance today, we were actually looking at his desktop. And I had actually initiated the meeting, which was pretty cool. And GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, is the easiest, most secure way to hold an online meeting. Use GoToMeeting for sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos. And, of course, you guys know I've used GoToMeeting for years. And my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for your free 30-day trial. So I think my son's singing in the background. I keep hearing him coming through the microphone into my headset a little bit, so I don't know what he's got going on over there. I guess he's... Oh, you know what happened? I have to share this with you guys before we move into the content. Mother's Day, I mean, the kids were great. Got them up. They got up early without being prodded, if you know what I mean, and made breakfast. Made her breakfast in bed. Everything went good. Food wasn't cold. The food was, you know, it was decent. And they brought in a Mother's Day gift, and Mama unwrapped that. Everything was fine. And then I was basically, after that was all over, Mom went to take a shower. And, you know, I'm telling her, okay, we're trying to work this whole Mother's Day thing so that Mom doesn't have to do nothing. So I'm in the kitchen helping clean up the mess from the kids doing the Mother's Day thing. And the youngest one was running around outside. And it was beautiful morning Sunday. And I seen him come in the door and pull the door shut. And I just, you know, it was one of those things where you notice something isn't quite right. And every parent's worst nightmare, he slammed his pinky finger of his right hand in the door. And I saw it happen like in slow motion, and he really had slammed the door hard. He starts immediately screaming, "Help me! Help me!" I mean, in this voice that was, no parent wants to hear it. It was, you know, just sends shivers down your spine. And, you know, I was about, had to go out from the kitchen counter around to probably about 15 feet. And, of course, I'm moving as absolute fast as I can. You know, and you're thinking it's, you know, you can't move any faster. But before I got to him, he figured out he could open the door. And, of course, he's standing there with this mangled pinky finger. And I'm just freaking. Of course, my wife's in the shower, and he's screaming at the top of his lungs. And, wow. Mother's Day went downhill from there. I can laugh now, but we had these cold wraps. Got cold wrap. Of course, the thing I'm doing is inspecting to make sure, okay, did we break the skin, and we've got blood veins, you know, broke, that's, you know, doing really, really bad things. And got him to calm down enough a little bit to get a cold wrap around his finger. And off the emergency room we go. And I'm convinced, just by the time I'd wrapped the pinky with a cold wrap, his finger was about twice the size of what it should be. And I'm thinking, man, and the way he had slammed it, I just knew. Broke. It had to be broke. And there was just no way the finger couldn't have been broke. And I took him to the emergency room, and you know, I'd put Tylenol and Motrin into him before we left. And he was still whimpering a little bit when we got to the emergency room. And we got in to check in. And the gal that checked us in, of course, wanted to see. And when pulled off the wrap, I'm like, looking at the finger, I'm like, wow, that went down quick. And you could see where it was pretty scuffed up and black and blue. And she looks at me, and I said, I swear it was a lot worse when I loaded him in the car. Well, we went to X-ray. It wasn't broken. And by 3 hours later, he's like, Dad, can I play it? Can I play the Wii? So, you know, things were back to normal pretty quick. But Mom didn't have to go to the emergency room. I did. But just one of those things, you know. And it must have been the morning for fingers, because we were the fourth people in that morning where kids had smashed their hands in the doors. What is up with that? The guy's like, you can't believe this. You're like the fourth one. I'm like, oh. And we were in there at like 9 a.m. or something like that. Oh, man. Anyway, he's okay. Fingers survived. So anyway, if you got comments tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. And those of you on Ustream, thanks for hanging out so late with me. All right, let me go ahead here and load up. Okay, let me load up this, load up Chrome here and go over to the first article of the night. One thing that always bugged me is when you're buying Mac products, you know, there is just a plethora of little adapters and, you know, cables that you can buy. But StarTech.com, and it's a company I bought stuff from before, has released a new mini DisplayPort adapter that's going to let you connect your mini DisplayPort equipped Mac to a VGA, DVI, or HDMI display. The adapter supports a maximum resolution of 1920 by 1200 and also has support for 1080p HD resolution. The mini DisplayPort to HDMI adapter has audio support as well, so it can be used with Apple's new MacBook Pros, which come equipped with audio-enabled mini DisplayPorts. The adapter sells for $29. You can find it at StarTech.com, and it's MDP to DVI and two NDB, excuse me, MDB, MDB, MDP2 VGA adapter. I'm just going to have the link up in the show notes. Instead of reading these stupid part numbers, but all $29 a piece. Check them out if you're looking for adapters for your Mac products. Those of you that are running Windows 7, be aware of emails coming through. Scammers are infecting computers with a Trojan horse. Actually, those of you looking to upgrade a machine to Windows 7 that are running on Vista or XP, scammers are infecting computers with a Trojan horse program. That essentially, it comes in the email and says, hey, you know, it looks like an email from Microsoft says, hey, click here to run the compatibility program to see if your machine is capable of running Windows 7. And, of course, it doesn't run a compatibility program. It runs a malware application that, you know, loads up in your machine and your own. If you're running Bitdefender, it identifies the program as Trojan Generic 378-3603. And that's also being used in the fake Facebook password reset scam that's going around us, too. So, but once this thing gets in your machine, criminals can pretty much whatever they can. They own your machine, key loggings, get into your bank account, and so forth. So stay away from these, Windows 7 compatibility checker Trojan that's making its rounds via email. Almost knocked over a glass of water. That would not have been good for the laptop. Well, scientists, NASA is planning on putting together a experimental mission to launch around 2020. And it's called the NASA ESA Experimental Mission. It's going to include three aircraft orbiting the sun, separated by 3 million miles, with a payload of two lasers and a 4.6-centimeter cube of gold-platinum alloy. And the point is, so they're going to be looking at gravitational waves. What they're really trying to figure out here is proving some of Einstein's theories. And the cost of this, these three different satellites are saying is going to be pretty inexpensive, around $66 million. So we'll see what happens with this. But they're looking to make estimations and really measuring gravitational waves. So we'll see what happens with this if this comes to fruition at some point in the future. Folks over at InfoRoll is trying to play a moderator between Microsoft and Adobe. And InfoRoll's peace plan for the Flash on iPhone OS is as follows. Number one, they want to create a Flash video player plugin that would run on the iPhone. They want to put the core flash technologies into standards bodies. So in other words, both Adobe and Apple claim, while today that the other company relies on proprietary technologies, they want the companies really to put the technology into a standards body. Number three, they want to create an iPhone certified, and basically what it is, a flash exporter for Creative Suite. And this allows developers to create flash content for mobile devices through Creative Suite version 5. And the last thing they want to do is explore a flash app certification process that would basically certify flash apps for operation on mobile devices. So InfraWorld wants the two companies to sit down and come in up with a deal. But my contention is that while they've got some good ideas here, I think that Apple is really pushing the HTML, basically HTML5 role, and wants nothing to do with Adobe in any way. And I think I don't think anything InfraWorld says will help them. All right, Galaxy Cluster at the edge of the universe, and this is pretty cool for on the science front. Now, this is pretty deep stuff here, but what they've been able to measure is a cluster of galaxies 9.6 billion light years away. Now, what's unique about this is that up to this point, this is the farthest cluster of galaxies that they have ever seen. They feel that the universe itself is only about 13.7 billion years old. So really, the scientists are pretty excited here in that they've tried to determine at what point galaxies start clustering together. And so they're going to do a lot of science on this, but because it's such a dense area, they're able to see the light of these galaxies relatively easy. And but the big thing that they're excited about is that it's 9.6 billion light years away. And that's a huge, that's just mind-boggling if you think about that in distance. But this galaxy cluster is 400 million light years farther away than the next most distant cluster ever seen. So gives you the significance of this is a big find. Have the link up to it in the show notes. This is over on discoverymagazine.com. All right, those of you in Canada, boy, oh boy, your Supreme Court's been busy. Canadian Supreme Court says that the press have no right to hide sources. And this is an article over on TechDirt. And when I read this, I was like, you got to be kidding me. But what they have said, what they've come up with here, is that... while here in the United States, many states have, journalist protection rules, the court in Canada, Supreme Court in Canada, is basically saying that while they may not always ask, but if a court decides it's a greater public interest to reveal the source, then the court can require journalists or press companies to reveal that information. Now, this is really goes into contrast of everything that we've come to learn here or live by here in the United States, of course, with some exceptions. But what is the chance of Canada passing a shield law? I don't foresee that being in the cards now that they have made this decision. A little bit of information come out of the USPTO. Of course, that is the United States Patent and Trade Office. What they have found is that even though the USPTO is increasing payment rates for folks who are trying to file for patents, they're starting to increase the rate of which patents are being reviewed, approved, or disapproved, trying to reduce some of the backlog that's been in the system. And one thing I found pretty interesting, though, was that in the late 90s into the early 2000s, the rate of patent approvals was pretty high. This was as high as 70% in the 90 to 2000 year range. But after a book was published, after Leonard and Jaffe, I'm not familiar with this book, called Innovations and Its Discontents, which highlighted the massive problems of the patent system, they went from about a 70% approval rate to around 50% in just a few years. you know, throwing out invalid patents and so forth. So we'll see what happens as they start reviewing more patent applications faster and getting them approved or disapproved. If this changes their approval rating, what it remains now around the 50% mark. Pretty good news out of New Hampshire. Of course, New Hampshire has had some dealings in this particular topic before, but New Hampshire's Supreme Court has recognized that new media can be news media. And what happened was is a website called the Mortgage Lender Implodometer, which sounds to me like, you know, some website that's putting information out about mortgage scams, had apparently published a document that mortgage lender, mortgage specialist had filed with the state, but which mortgage specialist did not want public. So it sued Implodometer, demanding to reveal its source, claiming that the New Hampshire Journalist Shield Law did not apply because they said the website was not a particularly suited or wasn't really a full-time news gatherer. Now, the lower court initially agreed to this, but the state Supreme Court rejected the claim, saying that it explained that the fact that Employed operates a website makes it no less a member of the press, and that Employed's website serves an informative function and contributes to the flow of information to the public. Therefore, the court concluded Employed is a reporter for the purpose of news gathering privilege. So this is big news for anybody that's blogging and creating content out of the state of New Hampshire. Looks like your Supreme Court has really ruled in your favor of giving you news gathering privileges when it comes to revealing sources out there who are providing you information. Next article is probably one that's more of an instructional type for those of you that are working on your websites. It's over at webmonkey.com. What this is a web dev and design website that talks about different things you can do for your particular website. And this one here talks about how to embed videos in your website using HTML5. So this is some pretty cool stuff. Gives you the basics information that you need to know. Those of you that are running our PowerPress plugin, we're going to be dropping HTML5 support into that here in the near future. So it'll be built in for those of you using that. And I know there's a number of HTML5 plugins already for WordPress users, so you can check that out. But as you know right now, IE9 is going to support HTML5, Safari 3, 4, Chrome 3.0 and above, Opera 10.5, and of course Firefox version 3.5 currently support HTML5 video. Now, Firefox 3, IE 7, and IE 8 do not. So you'll still have to continue to support those Flash users. And it's really easy to build a, for a better word, they've got a way where you can put, so it'll detect whether or not it's a Flash-based browser or not, and it'll play one or the other. So until IE9 comes out, is available. I don't think some sites will make a big change, but I know that we're going to be making headway here in that area very, very quickly so that everyone is using our podcasting plugin, PowerPress, will be able to have HTML5 compatibility built in. Now, you know, the first year I went to the Consumer Electronics Show, Andy and I went over to an area that they always have at the show for those of you that are hardcore, basically, audio freaks. In other words, if you are the guy that goes out and buys the $5,000 turntable, and actually there's an ad that just popped up on this page I was going to show you guys. This is over on Wired. If you are the guy that or the gal that demands the absolute purest sound for your audio, either coming out of a turntable or out of a $25,000 amplifier, whatever it may be, have I got the gift, the perfect price for you. This is a new audio player called HeadDirect, and it's under the stock number HM-TAC 801, and it's got a fantastically good amplifier in it, which is actually interchangeable, so if your ears need a little bit of different tone, they can actually provide you with a different type of amplifier for the device. But for a whopping $790, you can go out and get one of the absolute best audio players on the market today. It's not very fancy, but it's called the High Fidelity Music Player HM-801. made by Head Direct Corporation, designed and made in China. $790. Battery life about 7 hours. If you need a little more, for $80, you can go ahead and pick up a spare battery. Now, I have to laugh at this because, well, I shouldn't laugh, because I know some of you that listen to the show, you guys are hardcore. You get the liquid-cooled amplifiers for your stereo amps. You go out and buy the very best speakers, and you know you have you don't own any CDs. You only have LPs, and if you do have any digital media, it's been encoded at very high. Are you one of those? Are you one of our Ohana? Come on now, I'm going to give you the opportunity to go ahead and tell us your story. Email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Don't be shy, or don't be shy. We won't fry you in the comment section of the show. But is there really that big of a difference? Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This next article, which was also over on Wired, I had to kind of laugh because, you know, Wi-Fi has been many of us are using on a daily basis. Actually, what is going on here with my, oh, don't do that to me. Let me go to the end, see if I can load this. I'm trying to load up a page so that those on Ustream can actually see this. You know, Wi-Fi is something that many of us could not live without right now, just because we have you know, our families using it with a variety of devices in our homes. We use Wi-Fi when we're out, you know, at Starbucks or wherever it may be. But Wi-Fi is about to lay claim to a new frequency band that could result in speeds of at least 10 times faster than what's currently available. And I saw this, I was like, whoa, I need to check this out. Well, what happened was, is the Wi-Fi Alliance made an agreement with the Wireless Gigabit Alliance that's going to let Wi-Fi carve out a spec and standard support Wi-Fi operations in the, check this out, in the 60 gigahertz frequency band. Now, being a little bit of a tech geek, having worked in electronics and understand the RF spectrum a little bit, 60 gigahertz is up there. It's near light from a frequency spectrum point of view. And I was thinking, how are they going to do this? Because generally, when you get in that high of a frequency range, it has to be point to point. You have to, the antenna that is transmitting has to be able to physically see the antenna that is receiving. It doesn't penetrate walls well. It is a very interesting frequency band to have worked with to get approval to run the next version of Wi-Fi in. And as I was thinking about it a little bit more, it makes a lot of sense because it's not a frequency range that would be susceptible to a lot of interference. It would definitely allow for, man, some really fast data transfers. And they're thinking here that they would be able to allow speeds in this range up to a gigabit per second, maybe even up to much as 6 gigs a second for of speed base at 60 gigahertz. So again, 60 gigahertz is almost at the light spectrum, and you'll have to be line of sight, point to point between the receiver and the transmitter to see it. I don't know how that's going to work in homes, but really what they're trying to do here is with the proliferation of multimedia such as photos, home video, and HD movies, there has to be fast ways to transfer that data and to cut through the cable clutter. So we'll see what happens with this. But 60 gigs blew me away. It really did. That is, that's really high in the spectrum. Now, the thing that I'm, when I think about this a little bit, in the RF world, that is not a frequency range that is necessarily designed for inexpensive transmitters and receivers. It just isn't, you know, because of the specific frequency range you're at. There's a world of difference between being down at 2.4 gigs and being up at 60 gigs. There is a world of difference in the way the RF works in that spectrum. So I think there's going to be some challenges here for them. They've got a couple of years to figure it out before they'll be introducing 60 gigahertz Wi-Fi enabled receivers and transmitters. But I'll be curious to see what the speed is, to be honest with you, and who actually this is designed to be implemented for. I'm assuming homeowners. I just can't even imagine it being introduced commercially from a standpoint of somebody having a tower in town and then transmitting and receiving Wi-Fi at that frequency range. Now, on the last show, I missed this. NASA had tested its Orion launch abort system, and they had a successful demonstration with the new launch abort system developed for the Orion spacecraft. While we know the future is now uncertain for Orion, the pad abort one flight test took place at White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico at 9 a.m. Eastern on Thursday, and the launch went good. About 2 miles, the actual from a ground start to the abort device went as high as 2 miles before deploying the actual parachute in a fully mocked up, or actually it was a Orion capsule. Good on them for a successful test. Whether or not it ever makes it into a space platform is another question. NASA is setting May 14th for the next Atlantis launch, and this will be Atlantis's last flight. So they're a go for a 2:20 p.m. in the afternoon launch on May 14th, and this will be STS number 132. They're going to be delivering a Russian lab module called the Mini Research Module 1, or RASVET, to the station, as well as perform 3 spacewalks to do station maintenance. And again, with 3 shuttle missions remaining on the current manifest, this will be the last scheduled launch of Atlantis. Coming to an end here. Hey, this next article, you guys are going to have to go to the website. I'm going to call this my pick of the day for a site that you're going to need to visit, and I'll be able to show those of you on Ustream this here. This demonstrates what's been going on with Facebook and Facebook privacy. And let me get this loaded up, and so you guys can actually see this here. Let me flip this over. What it is, it's a chart of when Facebook was introduced in 2005, and it shows, essentially how privacy worked then. Well, if we look at 2005, this is just basically a chart that is kind of looks like a flower with inner petals, and the very inside is you. The next level is friends. The next level is network. The next level is all Facebook users. And then the very outer shell of this is the entire internet. In 2005, when you made a friend, basically you shared your information with your friends. Pictures, profiles, your birthday data, wall posts, that type of stuff. In 2005, when you shared information about networks that you belonged to, all Facebook users could see that, along with pictures and your name and your gender. So if you take that into account, way it was in 2005, if I go up to 2010 April, and I guess the best way to describe this is that you have on the very outside of the petals, you've got birthday, friends, networks, wall posts, photos, likes, names, pictures, gender, and profile. So again, back in 2005, the majority of stuff that was enabled from a privacy perspective that's lighted up in this chart is near the middle. If I go to 2010 April, just by being in Facebook itself, you being in the center, your friends now have access to everything. Pictures, names, likes, photos, wall posts, networks, friends. You go to the next level, talking about network, that whole area is lit up as well. The only thing right now that is not made public for all Facebook users and the entire internet is your birth date. So right now, your embedded profile data, your gender, your pictures, your name, your likes, your photos, your wall post, your networks, and your friends are all by default made available to everyone. The entire network, the entire internet, all Facebook users, your networks, your friends, and of course yourself. The only thing, again, the only thing that's not lit up here is your birthday. So those of you that are watching on Ustream, 2005, we go from very little stuff being shared outside of Facebook users to 2010, all of your data by being default shared to the entire internet. When you see this, you're going to understand the steps that Facebook has went through. And for those of you on Ustream, I'm just going to take this 2005, here's 2006, here's 2007, 2009. And really, this is when Facebook, in my opinion, started becoming evil. 2009, November, 2010, 2009, December, and then 2010, April. And their increase. It's just remarkable. It really is. You guys got to check this out. This is definitely the page of the day. And it just blows me away. Again, it's availability of your personal data on Facebook with default settings. Okay? You just got to check this out. Really, I tell you, this will really lay it out for you what I've been talking about. All right, moving on to a new topic. Mozilla has shared with the internet what the potential new Facebook version 4.0 is going to look like. And there's not a lot of changes here. They point out some basic areas that are some changes happening. A little bit of change in the navigation in the address bar, along in the Google search area, a little bit of stuff up in the left-hand corner of the actual application. And they've got a video here that lays out Facebook, or actually not necessarily a video, but a slideshow that really kind of lays out all of the changes. And this is the first time that they have publicly rolled out and made a very detailed roadmap of where they're headed with the Firefox version 4 this far ahead of release. So pretty cool stuff. I have a link up to that in the show notes. Clearwire is sticking with WiMAX until 2012. We talked a little bit on the last show how they had said that they may jump ship on WiMAX at some point and actually go to LTE. But Clearwire has commitment issues to WiMAX at least through 2012. And if they say if LTE should turn out to be the better way to go, they may consider jumping ship and moving to LTE in 2012. You know, the thing is, not once they get all the towers up, then switching formats or switching carrier types is not really that difficult. Definitely a capital investment in equipment, but the biggest challenge is actually getting the deployments, is getting the towers up in the right location. So we'll see what happens with this with Clearwire. I'm pretty happy with WiMAX with them here in Honolulu and the places I've been able to actually utilize it. Hey, we're on Engadget. They're talking about a new hard drive writing method. They could boost platter densities by 5 times or more. A few years ago, you may have remembered they were talking about perpendicular recording, is where they were stacking the bits on basically on their ends instead of laying them down, which increased storage densities by a few orders of magnitude. But now what they're going to do is they're going to write a method called bit pattern recording and thermally assisted recording. That could raise your platter density rates to 1 terabyte per inch. I think what you get now is 100 gigs per inch or something like that, or a couple hundred gigs per inch. So they're thinking that they could get up to 1 terabyte per inch initially, with upwards to 10 terabytes per inch down the road. And what this does is technology relies on segregating the disk sectors into a lithographed islands, while Tyre relies on heating, and sectors with heating and cooling techniques that preserve the data in nearby sectors. It says when these Wonder Twins combine, these sectors can be as small as 15 nanometers in diameter, and write speeds can hit 250 megs a second. Yes, that's 250 megs a second. So while you'll be able to store a lot of more data on your conventional hard drives, you may not be able to do any more quickly than you do now, but density is definitely going to change. And I'll have the link up to this from Engadget. The source on this was ArsTechnica.com, but I pulled it from the folks over at Engadget. Another article I pulled from Engadget was, matter of fact, this is a pure coincidence. Oh, I got to tell you guys something. Let me back up before I talk about it and what this next article is. Those of you guys remember when I was out in Texas, I had a little issue with Mophie. Remember, I threw the Mophie, my third Mophie that had broke in the trash? Remember, the first one had broke with a connector, becoming loose, and I wasn't able to charge it no more through no fault of my own, but plugging it and unplugging it. The second one, which I had purchased, the reason I didn't get a replacement on the first one is because I couldn't find my receipt. The second one that I got just wouldn't take a charge, so I took that back, and I immediately replaced it with a third one. And you'll remember on the third one I broke 2 weeks ago in Waco when it fell off the desk stand and basically, again, broke the connector. Well, I got an email from Mophie after my tirade on the show. And guess what? They sent me 2 Mophie packs. I'm still not satisfied. I definitely touched a nerve with the folks at Mophie by complaining about the quality. And I had a pretty good email conversation back and forth with the folks at Mophie basically saying, hey, you know, I'm still not happy with your engineering on these things. They said that there had been changes made to the new models and that something, you know, they hoped that I would be much happier with the new versions. So I don't know where I lay on this right now. I'm going to run this Mophie juice pack and I'm going to treat it the same way I treated the other ones. We'll see how it does over time. I'm not going to give them a pass at this point. Based upon our last conversation about these devices, I still cannot endorse the Mophie juice pack. So even though I'm running one, I'm going to run it for test purposes to see if it's actually better. Now, here's the thing. I was talking with a buddy of mine today, and he has the same issue. His broke the same way, and he couldn't find his receipt either. I was talking about you need to call him and see if he can get one returned. But if Mophie really wants to make this right and fix this, they need to change the return policies on these. Many of us don't save our receipts, or we maybe have a hard time finding them. Make it easy for folks to get these turned in and get them replaced. And really, if you guys do that and make a change to your return policy and make it easier for folks to get these replaced when there's a workmanship issue. I'm not talking about, you know, these should be able to stand general wear and tear. Is general wear and tear falling off a nightstand and landing on the floor with a charger in, is that normal? I don't know if I necessarily would qualify. I guess I would. That's going to happen to anybody. The cable is not that long, so if you plug it into a power strip on the floor, it sets comfortably on a desk back 2 or 3 inches. But maybe the solution is to make the cable a little longer. I don't know, so you can, you know, store it in a little more safe place. But anyway, that's where I stand with this charger. But what I had done was basically I was looking for another alternative because I just can't trust this at this point. So I had interviewed Hypermac over at during CES, and I remembered them having some really good external battery packs, and they're big, they're not small, and because I'm carrying my iPad, I go with my Mac places now, and I have the iPhone, lots of Mac devices to charge, and I really need more charging options depending on where I'm at. And I went and ordered a Hypermac external battery today. And I bought one of the better ones. I think I paid about $300 for it. And it'll run a MacBook Pro 17-inch for, I think, up to like 13 hours or something like that. But anyway, they actually announced today that their battery packs have been refreshed to work with the iPad. So I really didn't even realize it, that I was going to be getting a new one that had iPad support. As a matter of fact, I got to go back and double check and make sure I ordered the one. It was within the pictures on the page that I was looking at. But so I was getting ready for the show, so I was like, hey, I just ordered one of those today. And at the same time, they announced them on with a press release. So if you're looking for a pretty cool charging solution for your portable devices, and you need something to recharge your iPad or your iPhone or your iPod or even your Mac, Hypermac's got some great stuff. Little pricey, The 60-watt one starts at 169, 100-watt at 269, 150 at 360. I think I bought the 100-watt one at 269. Mine was a little more expensive than that, 300-something with shipping. So anyway, I have the link up to the show notes. You guys can check that out. And if you're looking for recharge stuff, how many remember going into Radio Shack in the old days and really being able to find everything in there? You know, especially if you're an electronics geek like me, go in there and buy resistors, transistors, you name it, you could get it. And here in Honolulu, the Radio Shacks, you know, maybe it's because I've lived here now going on, I guess, for 13 or 14 years, you know, maybe I thought it was just different. Maybe Radio Shack in Hawaii didn't have as big a selection because of the distance. But I read an article on Wired today that talks about a few stores that are not necessarily corporate stores, but they're privately owned, which have a lot of the stuff that many of the older stores used to have. So how many of you missed going into Radio Shack and being able to buy, you know, that resistor? And I know some of you are like, why would I buy a resistor, Todd? But, you know, some of you are geeks. How many of you would like to go in and buy kits or buy, like, make-or-make type of kits to, you know, use with your kids? There's a number of stores nationwide that still have that level of offerings. And I just was totally intrigued by this article in Wired, and I wish we had one of these here in Honolulu. So I just thought I would share that with you for information purposes. I have a link up the show notes. Hey, AT&T is taking command, lean, and drop calls. Shouldn't come as a surprise. Over the past 90 days, 4.5% of people that are using AT&T have experienced drop calls. It happens to me every day. T-Mobile 2.8, Sprint 2.4, Verizon 1.5 leading the pack. Cellular service provider sat of action rating for March 2010. Verizon leads away at 49% with Sprint, T-Mobile, and AT&T following with AT&T and T-Mobile tying at 23%. So not much satisfaction by those of us that are using AT&T. A little bit of an article here on GigaOhm talking about faster upstream speeds for cable broadband. Finally, cable providers are starting to recognize that we have the need for more upload speed versus download speed, and are starting to introduce more upload speed and making predictions of what's going to happen for the next 2 or 3 years. So pretty exciting times. I can't wait to see more upload speed with our providers here in Hawaii if they ever do that. So we'll keep you advised. And if you guys are seeing more upload speed on DOCSIS 3.0, let's talk about that. Love to hear from you on that. Geek News Central is geeknews@gmail.com or voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Hey, quick guide to iPad 3G data plans around the world. Of course, iPad 3G is being launched with pre-orders beginning for those of you that are outside the United States today. If you're in Canada, Rogers is the provider, going to be offering a Canadian $15 a month for 250 megs or $35 Canadian a month for 5 gigs. If you live in the UK, you got three selections, Vodafone, Orange, or O2. Vodafone's going to be £10 a month for 1 gig, £25 a month for unlimited fare use capped at 5 gigs. Orange is going to be 5 pence per megabyte, capped at £40 per month or £2 per day for 200 megs. Weird pricing there. What is the max? I'll just have this linked up in the show notes. But O2 has a similar plan where you can actually pay by the day or by the gig. Those of you in Spain, you're going to have a choice between Vodafone or Orange. Japan is SoftBank. Matter of fact, one of the providers dropped out today that was going to be offering Japan iPad services. Italy is Vodafone. Germany is Vodafone. Germany is O2. France is SFK, and it's to be determined. Australia is going to get Vodafone, and again, TBD. So I have a link up to this in the show notes if you're wondering what the 3G prices are going to run in your country. New app out today called Antenna. It's a real-time iPhone application for consumer-to-consumer and business-to-business, a business-to-consumer exchanges of goods and services. The location is, the app is location-aware. It's similar to Twitter. Users of it can create a short mobile micro-listing up to 140 characters of items wanted or for sale. I'm going to tell you what this is going to be used for. You know, this sounds like a great app. It's a great way to find maybe yard sales and stuff like that. But you can almost be bet. Oh, I shouldn't have put the phone near the microphone. You can almost bet that in some big cities that services are going to be advertised because it's location aware. It shows you where you can go to get services if you get my drift. So I'm sure Antenna is going to be offering a lot more than business services and garage sales and stuff like that. They're saying it's a swap meet in your pocket. whatever. So anyway, right up on this app was across a variety of sites. They got their press people out really good, but it's called Antenna. A-N-T-T-E-N-N-A is the name of the app available at the iPhone App Store. Hey, big news for those of you that are visually impaired. The Internet Archive announced yesterday a new resource for visually impaired, or as the IA called them, the print disabled. These books, well, that's kind of rude. Anyway, these books are available at the newly redesigned Open Library at openlibrary.org. Open Library is one web page for every book ever published. Seems a pretty lofty ambition, but they're going to be making a lot of print books available for the vision impaired, and they're going to have up to, at this point, 300, what's available right now is 393,792 books are available immediately for the visually impaired. So I know we have a few visually impaired folks that listen to the show. Let me know what you think about this. Love to hear what your experience is with the Open Library at openlibrary.org. Hey, Apple's applied for the iTunes Live trademark. I think it's just another step for them moving forward to bringing a iTunes website available. And I think this is what it ties into. I bet you we're going to see an iTunes Live actual website. So we'll see what happens there. Of course, bad news on the AT&T front. The folks over at, who dug this out? I think it was, did Gizmodo dig this out? Because everyone was pointing back at them, I think so. Anyway, I'm over at digitaltrends.com. Legal documents reveal that AT&T has exclusive iPhone rights until 2012. Of course, we all know in 2007, it was rumored that Apple got 5 years of exclusive rights. If that's the case, really that's bad news for all of you that are on Verizon that have been waiting for an iPhone. Now, that deal could have been restructured at some point. But the widespread rumor initially has been backed up by court documents that were found that said the duration of the exclusive AT&T agreement was not secret. The plaintiff quotes a May 21st, 2007 USA Today article published over a month before the iPhone release stating AT&T has exclusive U.S. distribution rights for 5 years. And I think we've talked about this in previous shows, but we will see what happens with this. But AT&T could be in the driver's position for the iPhone until 2012. All right, how many of you are in corporate America that have been considering getting the Office 2010 upgrade deal that Microsoft's been quietly offering to organizations considering upgrading? The 50% discount, which is a open value to volume licensing customers, is going to expire in July. So if you're in that space and you're corporate and your corporation's thinking about upgrading to 2010 and qualify for this deal, you've got until July to make a decision to make a move. I got an article here talking about engineering bacteria for environmental cleanup. I don't know how they're going to clean up the oil mess, but they're using bacteria that has been genetically altered, used to clean up environmental spills and that type of stuff. So this is something new in the science front that's being really aggressively worked towards. I have this link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. I'm not going to go into detail on this. Hey, the Android is reported to have overtaken Apple in U.S. smartphone market. Google Android OS surpassed Apple in U.S. smartphone market share during the first quarter of 2010. This is according to the NPD Group. Google now enjoys a 28% of all the smartphone market, earning the company the second place spot behind Research and Motion at 36, and Apple to third place at 21. And there's been a number of sites that have discounted this potential win for Android. I think we'll only find out as more sales figures are released for these devices when that's going to happen. Moving on to a little bit of legislative stuff. The FCC, of course, has announced that they want to have nationwide 4 megabits per second broadband to all of us available. They're saying that build-out is going to cost around $23 billion, largely will not be done through fiber. But they got some pretty cool charts here that I spent some time studying. And it talks about, actually it looks at a county-by-county basis of different, at each state, on where they're at actually in broadband deployment. Now, I'm looking at Hawaii, and Hawaii is fully served, at least on Oahu, Maui, and Kauai. The Big Island is not. But if I go back and look at my home state in Michigan, it says that it will, and I don't know if this is in thousands of dollars, but it says that like where I grew up in Michigan, my particular county has I guess $2.5 million would have to be spent to close the gap to get them to 4G or to get them to actually a 4 gigabit per second level. So I find this to be a pretty amazing little map. You guys can take a look at it and figure out exactly where your county and the state you're living in is broken out on, you know, broadband deployment and what's available. And the government's going to have to spend a lot of cash just to get 4 megs per second to everybody. Now, 4 megs a second is not very quick. And it'd probably take them 10 years to do this at a price tag of $23 billion. Shouldn't they be shooting towards 40, not 4? Article over on the BBC, of course, this made big news today. Twitter was hit by a major disruption today. Folks were being forced, actually there was a bug that was forcing, making people, essentially anyone that was wanted you to follow them could, through a little hack, you could force someone to follow you no clicking of your own. And the way Twitter had to deal with this is Twitter had to basically remove everyone's follows for a short period, put in the bug fix, and then turn people's followers back on in order to stop this bug. But the bug allowed many people to force celebrities such as Lady Gaga to follow them simply by typing in quotations, "accept at Lady Gaga." And then what it would do is Lady Gaga automatically would be following you. So you can imagine people were trying to game that system quite a bit. Boeing is going to be flying its first high-performance fighter aircraft called the Phantom Ray in December. And this thing looks pretty wicked, at least from the pictures that they've released. And this will be one of the first fighter craft basically built to be flown by remote control. And of course at some point they think man needs to be removed from the link here. And I don't necessarily agree with that strategy, but that's where it looks like they're trying to remove the man from the aircraft and instead of just have the man sit in a joystick in a trailer somewhere. So a little bit of information on the aerospace side. And those of you that are using Safari within Windows, be aware that there is a zero-day bug. It's the Apple Safari browser contains a critical unpatched bug that attackers can use to infect Windows PCs with malicious code. And this was announced today by the U.S. CERT and other security firms. And this is real simple. All you do is visit a website that's got this exploit embedded in your own. So anyway, that's what's going on in the bug front. All right, let me go ahead and get into the voicemails. We got a couple here and then a few emails tonight. I'm going to run long here already. So I'll get right into this again. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Here comes the first voicemail.
Hey, Todd. It's Bill out of Hillsville, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Bill.
Talking about my last email where I made a comment about the sound of the show. It might have actually been the way I was listening to the show that day. It was one of the shows from Texas. And I was using some headphones that I don't normally use. So it's like my other one.
Hey, Bill, your audio was, boy, I could barely understand it. I don't know what happened. If you were on a cell phone in a bad area or what, I apologize. Just could not understand you. Got real warbly there. Please call back to the voicemail hotline when you're on a better connection. I'm sorry. I had to just stop that because I just couldn't quite follow it. But just give a ring back if you would, okay? And submit stuff. All right, here comes the next one.
Hey, Todd, this is Clint calling from Houston.
Hey, Clint.
Say, whatever happened about getting your wife a new phone? Did you get her an iPhone or did you get her something else like the HD2? Also, you were talking about the Roku and other such boxes as that. I have purchased the TiVo Premier XL, and it's amazing how things that are old are suddenly new again, because the TiVo Premier and TiVo Premier XL allow you to search for shows not just on cable or over the air, but also on Netflix, Amazon, and Blockbuster, and YouTube at the same time when you do a search. Also, you can get podcasts over this thing as well. And it also is cable card ready. In fact, I put in my Comcast cable card, which they gave me at no additional charge, a multi-stream cable card. It works really well. And I am back with Comcast for cable. I was not for about a year because I just got so tired of their egregious and stupid little policies. However, I'm back for a pretty good rate. Still have their internet service. But it seems like something Comcast is getting nicer about things. They waive the installation fee. They waive the you know, there's no room for cable cards. So I think Comcast is trying to change their whole perception. And especially in places like Houston, we can either get Comcast or get, of course, Fios or AT&T U-verse. So I think some competition is doing them some good. I say nothing about, of course, DirecTV or Dish Network. So there are alternates out there for Comcast. And anyway, things are going pretty well here in Houston, and I enjoy the show. And also, I'm enjoying my HD2 much better than my iPhone. And also, I understand that Sprint's going to come out with an Android version of the HD2. It's going to have a 4.3-inch screen, and it's going to have an 8-megapixel camera and USB 2.0 connections on it and able to output high definition. So I forget the model number of this, but I'll email you some information. Also, Todd, can you cover some about an item called the WeTab? It is from Germany. It was called the WePad, but it's supposed to be an arch rival to the iPhone, and I can't wait until that comes to the U.S. So anyway, I enjoy the show. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks, Clint, for calling. A lot of things to cover there. Know what happened when I came back from Texas? When I got in the car, my wife handed me her phone or iPhone that was not working. Says, "When we get home, you're going to fix this. I don't need to go buy another phone." And really, what I did is I took my son and we sat down and we went through, and I re-jailbroke the phone with him. And she's using her other phone. She really at this point doesn't want another phone. Even though in the heat of the moment she did, so that was solved. So far as the TiVo Premiere, yeah, that's a nice box, a lot of stuff going on there. We hope to have some channels in there at some point too, but it's just one of those things we have to prioritize where we think that the most bang for the buck is going to happen. And I think our next target probably is going to be the Vudu player, which is going to be embedded in most TV sets and Blu-ray players sold out of the Walmart chain. It's because of Vudu picking that up as a, actually Walmart buying Vudu, and then some other devices. But thanks for your feedback on the HTC on that phone. Definitely appreciate it, and it's definitely an option for her at some point, or maybe even me. I got an email here from Bruce. He says, "Hey Todd, you were complaining about your iPhone additional battery solution the other day. I was looking. Oh, this already went over this. So, what date was that? What date did that come in? Well, it says today." No, he says, "Hey, Todd, you're complaining about the iPhone additional battery solution the other day. I was looking at the Griffin options, but was given a freeloader, which is a USB charge battery, all the usual connectors to charge devices, but with detachable solar panels to take advantage of all the sunny days we don't have in the UK. Good results when used, even when solar charging in the UK, but have to say, only used in emergency and not part of my day-to-day charging cycle as it connects via a loose cable rather than as part of the device or additional cover. It's probably too fragile for everyday use, but good remote, infrequent use, camping, etc. Regards, Bruce in UK." So thanks, Bruce, for that. I've got an email here from Jeffrey. Say, "Hey, Todd, first want to say the Sprint store guys should be commended, not fired, for the heroic effort. I understand that stores don't want people to be heroes, but they should not get fired over it." And I don't know what this was in relation to. Hey, also hoping you give a push to the summer podcast contest that will be held from June 1st through September 30th. We got some big prizes coming this year. Right now, I'm looking for 4 podcasts. Any show doesn't have to be tech. Really, just to have to donate a $20 prize to the kitty. The contest has some big sponsors, which I cannot say right now, at podcastmadness.com. And what is popping? Something on my computer is. For podcasters to register, if they do it by May 24th, they'll be in the running for another special prize. Trust me, it's also a good one. Also, if you mentioned giving away I'm giving away an HP Data Vault this week as part of a Ivy promotion. I'd appreciate that they just have to listen to the Day in Tech History podcast, the Geekazine Weekly podcast, the 5 Tech Things video podcast. Get the codes, enter them at geekazine.com, and they can win an HP 510 Windows Home Server. They have until May 15th to enter codes. I draw on the 16th. Finally, I think it should be Ohana Local, since that's a word for inside seeing Detroit, Jeffrey. Yeah, Jeffrey's going to be running Podcast Madness. I need to get signed up for that myself so we can be part of that and give some cool prizes away during really our summer podcast 2 contest that Jeffrey's running. I got an email here from really the only reason I'm covering this is this came from a non-listener, but his name is Tim Goggin, and he's with, I guess, Pocket Mac at pocketmac.net, and he says, "Hey Todd, could you let me know if our new iPhone app designed for Navy personnel would be of interest to your readers? These are 2 new iPhone apps, Uniformity and Ribbons. And it reduces the complex task of assembling sailors' uniforms to a few taps on iPhone screens. These apps were designed by a Navy husband who saw how frustrated his wife was assembling rarely used uniforms. She had to sort through a mountain of regulations to make sure, you know, Tim, you know, here's the problem with this. This fella shouldn't have forced his wife to get his uniform set up. He should have done it himself." I never asked my wife to do anything with my uniforms, ever, except take them to the dry cleaners and drop them off when I couldn't do it myself. Windows Home Server's top, your network is critical, and that's what you guys keep hearing that pop, pop, pop for, a little announcement. So there's a way to get rid of this. Exit. We won't hear that no more. Anyway, really appreciate your feedback on the product. So anyway, it's at uniformityapp.com, or he's got a social media version of it as well. I'll have that linked up in the show notes. I know we got a bunch of military folks that listen to this show. All right, that's it for tonight's show. And thanks, everybody, for hanging out and listening. And if you have comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. And, of course, don't forget about geeknewscentral.com/offers. And geeknewscentral.com/insider. And, of course, our Cafe Press Ohana store, cafepress.com/Ohana store. If you have designs for it, hey, send them over to me. I'll get them to Sam, out to Sam, so he can get them included in our designs for our website. If you have an idea for something that you'd like to help promote the show on, if you'd like to put some sort of a store up or some way for listeners of the show to support the program, feel free to do that. And we'll open source the crowdsource the actual show here. And you can become an insider by putting together some cool program for Geek News Central. And also, I got to get back with one of our Ohana, who had actually built up an app for Windows 7. So I need to get back and find out what the status of that is. Tom is working on our iPhone app as we speak. So hopefully we'll make some progress with that here and have something going into a submission process in the next week or two. But until next show, which will be here from Honolulu, everyone take care. We'll see you next time around. Aloha.